Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
I'm so delighted to have Rosina Kushnick here with us today to talk about trauma from the perspective of your relationship, because you all know as conscious entrepreneurs, whatever is going on in your life is going to affect your business and vice versa. So Rosina has a really, I think, fascinating background because she and I have both trained in the Akashic Records with the same teacher. So we have that outside the box approach to looking at souls and helping souls understand how they're designed to function. And Rosina has a really beautiful focus of helping people go deeper in their relationship life, which, as you know, if you're able to have a healthy and happy partnership, that is only going to serve your business extremely well. So Rosina, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm delighted that you're here. And I'd love to ask you, from your perspective, how do you define trauma?
The way I define trauma is actually how I learned it from the person that I learned how to release trauma from, and her name is Teal Swan. And the way she explains trauma, and it makes perfect sense to me, and actually reflects my experience every time we go into it, is that whenever a child anywhere between age 0 to 8 is having an emotional experience that they are not able to fully move through, there is a split that takes place. And if I may explain that just a little bit more, what I mean with that is that, let's say you're 4 years old and your older brother is having a birthday party and everybody is paying attention to him and giving him gifts, and you're all of a sudden totally in the background, nobody is giving you gifts, and you have no way of understanding why and what is going on. And you are starting to have an emotional reaction of anxiety, confusion, maybe annoyance, frustration, and you go to your mother and you speak to her, and what might look to her like you're complaining, you're whining, and she is adding insult to injury by saying, don't be so selfish, this is your brother's day, it's not all about you, don't make such a big fuss. And so there you have two emotional situations that nobody is helping you to actually be with and therefore release in the moment. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And you've lifted up a beautiful example of exactly how that kind of belief of I'm selfish, I'm asking for too much, how that belief becomes embedded at a really early age.
Yes, and worse yet, in that moment, there is this deep shaming that takes place that is instructing this young boy, let's say, the 4-year-old. It's teaching him that needing or wanting anything is shameful, right? Why are you whining again? Why don't you just be happy for your brother? There's a shaming. And when the shaming takes place, whatever the child feels shamed about is considered unacceptable, and therefore the child will move that aspect of himself into the subconscious. He no longer is allowed to be part of his official, you know, his visible personality. And then it's literally being split off, and it moves into the subconscious. And in that way, we are losing so much of who we are. And it's all somewhere down there, actually having quite a busy life, because these parts don't stop living. They are now just simply disconnected from our conscious awareness, and they can get severely in the way unless we go back and we address the needs that four-year-old had in that very moment.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And a number of other practitioners in this series have talked about that. The piece that feels important to emphasize in this moment is that that kind of trauma is moved into the subconscious. I think that if we were all walking around completely aware of all of the different parts of ourselves that we have set aside because we were told they were bad or wrong, that just recognizing all of that, we might feel a lot of shame and not having healed that. So I really want to lift up that this stuff at a very early age goes into the subconscious. And we, so what that means is walking around as an adult, we have no awareness that there are parts of ourselves that have been split off or hidden.
Yeah. Yeah. The only way we gain awareness is when we notice ourselves doing and saying things that we don't actually want to be doing or saying. And we're like, why did I do that again? Or why do I feel this way? I know I don't need to be scared. Why am I still feeling scared, for example?
Right. Why am I having such an extreme reaction to this situation that does not call for an extreme reaction? Yeah, absolutely.
So, and actually a lot of...
Go ahead.
I was going to say a lot of these splits that take place, they actually are very, very quiet, and we don't even have an emotional, shall we say, what might look like an overreaction to it. It's more that we find ourselves unable to make progress in certain areas of our lives, and we don't know why. We have done absolutely everything in our reach. And the answer can always be found when we retrieve these parts.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can see that applying to relationships. Like if we keep dating the same person over and over again and can't seem to find the partner that we really want, or in business, if we're taking a ton of action and not getting results, and it makes no logical sense that we're not getting results.
Yeah.
Cool. So can you talk with us a little bit about work that you do with people in relationship to help them to unpack some of these parts of themselves?
Yes, I would love to. And, you know, the way that ties in with business is that even with, you know, one is what you were saying, that how we do in relationship shows up in how we're doing business and vice versa. What also is very true is that business is nothing but relationships. It's relationships everywhere right. with everyone. And it's always people. And so it is extremely useful when we become aware of how we might be sabotaging ourselves. And when I say sabotage, I want to be very clear what I mean with that. Ultimately, we never sabotage ourselves. It looks like we are, and we behave in ways that are, you know, self-sabotaging. However, the reason why we act in ways that look like self-sabotage is that there's this part inside of ourselves that got stuck in a split, let's say at age 5, and was never integrated, hence was never informed as to what this adult who may be 45 years old now actually needs in order to succeed. So the 5-year-old may still be employing a coping mechanism that was totally making sense at 5 years old. However, as a 45-year-old, it's maybe causing the exact opposite. Hence, it looks like self-sabotage. But the part, once you connect with that part and learn about it and connect with it, lend him or her the emotional support and security it never had, it can literally be brought up to date with who this person is, who the 45-year-old person is that they're such an intrinsic part of. And when once they understand that, what they're part of, they are the most eager to make you succeed. And they are the most eager to change their ways, meaning they stop doing what used to look like self-sabotage, and they become a very productive and, you know, enhancing part of who you are.
That's an excellent example, and certainly that's something that I talk with my entrepreneurial clients about a lot, because if they're, for example, if you're listening to this and you find that you are getting stuck in some really weird form of resistance, like if you're noticing that you keep stopping yourself in new and different ways, that can often, from my perspective, be an indication that there is a child part of you that feels terrified because you're stepping up in your business, you're being more visible, you're being more transparent, you're putting yourself out there in a new way, and your child part is feeling really deeply uncomfortable. So like Rosina said, it looks like sabotage, but it's not actually sabotage. It's your child part asking to have attention, to have their needs addressed and met so that they can become fabulous advocates for you. I absolutely agree mm-hmm. with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. So
yeah.
Do you want to talk at all about how this applies to relationships specifically?
Oh, yes. You know, relationships, as we all know, they can get very, very tricky in that they stir very deeply inside of us, right? They go very deep. And these traumas, we have them stored away in very deep places. So when we move into a relationship, these places kind of can't hide anymore. It's much easier to remain even keel and, you know, feel like we have our act together when we're not in a relationship. It's also the nature of, I think, every human being to long for union and to long for connection. And so we are always motivated and driven towards relationship. And then when we are in relationship, we are becoming aware of these feelings, and it's mainly feelings that kind of start to rise in ways that, as you said earlier, might feel they don't make really any sense of why they're so intense or why they're there at all. And so I look at relationships as an enormous opportunity for both people to do really deep, profound work. And usually people come to me when they are either looking for a relationship or when they are in a relationship and the relationship isn't as fulfilling as they would like it to be. And on the way to reconnecting with that fulfillment, we are actually coming across all these different moments of trauma. And I see it over and again that as we are releasing traumas that seemingly have nothing to do with the relationship or your current life, the relationship improves and improves and improves and improves. Because that edge is taken away, the anxiety is subsiding, whatever it may be. And, you know, I always think life has a very funny way of kind of rubbing it in. Let's say you grew up being neglected, right? You're growing up in an emotional climate that is not seeing you, not acknowledging you, and you're being, you know, just straight up neglected. That is such a profound trauma. It's so deeply rooted in your identity and the vibration of, first of all, I am neglected, I am abandoned, I have to fend for myself, I will always be alone. If I let anyone in, they will abandon me, and on and on and on. That vibration is carried by this person. And if you're familiar with the law of attraction, the unfair part is that you're then going to manifest somebody who is going to neglect you, who's going to walk away from you, who's pretty much bringing these very emotions right to the surface. And that's what I meant with, like, the unfair way of rubbing it in. It's like you already had enough of that as a child, and you're finally feeling like you're grown up, an adult, and you get to create what you want. But unbeknownst to you, you are a carrier of this frequency that is exactly the same as your childhood. And then, you know, the only way to reconfigure that or update that so you can have a different relationship is to go into what caused it in the first place.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I'm just thinking about especially that vibration around abandonment. I keep turning this back to business, but it just seems so relevant. Mm-hmm. When we're having sales conversations, or starting to work with a new client. And if we're running that energy of abandonment, you know, in our energetic field, what happens is we're going to be waiting for our prospective clients to reject us, to say no. We're going to be anticipating that they're going to say no, and we're kind of bracing ourselves for that. or with new clients, as we begin to work with them, we're going to feel like we have to prove ourselves to them so that they will not reject or abandon us. So really, it sets you up for failure, not just in your intimate partnerships, but also in your relationships with your prospects and with your clients.
Yes. Yes. It's not fair, but it's how it works.
Right. Right. So are there any particular patterns that you see? Because I know you work with entrepreneurs, you work with people in relationship primarily, but a lot of them are entrepreneurs. Are there any particular patterns that you see with entrepreneurs that you might want to talk about today?
Yes, and you know, there is, I do a lot of work with the archetypal energies of the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And when you ask me this question, what I go to right away is that with men, I always start working with the divine masculine energy of the warrior. And for entrepreneurs in particular, that is an indispensable energy that we need to have available, not to fight. It's a little bit misleading, the word warrior. It's basically somebody very strong, very clear, very purpose-driven, moving forward, overcoming obstacles, knowing what they need, etc. And men are being given such mixed messages when they grow up. They're not supposed to cry, but they're also not supposed to be like really assertive and bullyish when they're little boys. The role models in the world that we have, given our history of several thousand years of male dominance on this planet, has embedded in the collective unconscious that if you're a man, it equals, if you're a strong man, it equals you're being an abuser, you're being a suppressor, you're not nice to women, basically. And so conscious entrepreneurs, male conscious entrepreneurs, they don't want to identify with that, and they don't want to be identified with that. And so what they have done, and not just once they became entrepreneurs, but as young boys, is that they are moving that strong, assertive, masculine energy into the subconscious. Because if you have that in your life, you are being associated with that, I want to call it immature masculine energy, that has been, you know, really very destructive for the last few thousand years. And so I focus a lot of energy at the beginning with men to really help them reconnect with that energy, because without it, it's very hard to operate a business. You don't know who you are. You don't have a purpose. You don't have clarity. You don't have permission to assert yourself and move forward. Or else you are more in that bully energy where you are asserting yourself, but you have no consideration, no attunement to the people around you. So that would be a very prominent and strong pattern in men that gets in the way. Was that helpful and clear? Or
yes.
Do you have any questions?
That was fascinating. No, keep going. This is great.
Actually, one of my very big passions is to empower men to reclaim their masculine energy. Because we as women, we can bring back the divine feminine and whatnot until the cows come home. If we don't have men who are secure and safe within their masculine energy, we are not held. We're not protected. We're not provided for.
Right. So it behooves us as women to support men in being in right relationship with their masculinity.
Yes. And, you know, there is an enormous amount of confusion about what that actually is. Because, as I said, the role models have been leaning towards violence, dominance, destruction. And that's not the mature masculine energy. The mature masculine energy provides safety and provides structure for us to thrive.
Absolutely. That's a beautiful articulation.
Thank you. And so with the women, I find that actually the Amazon energy, the counterpart to the masculine warrior energy, is also key in as entrepreneurs, right? As women, we are much more involved in every other part of our lives as well, being mothers, being wives, being the spiritual beings that we are. So for a woman, usually they're more aware and concerned about all those aspects at once, whereas men can easily be, you know, very happy and focused within their professional realm. So with women, the Amazon is very important. The shadow aspect of the Amazon and the warrior is suppressed anger, right? When we are a little girl and we are very boisterous and loud and assertive and super smart and witty, it's very likely that somebody put us very harshly into our place. Like, good girls don't talk like that, and so on. And then we take that Amazon energy, make it bad, and put it away. And when we do that, which we don't really have a choice when we're that little, we just do that, we are losing our own capacity to stand up for ourselves and to literally protect ourselves. And there is an enormous amount of anger that is underneath that. And so that's what I encounter a lot with women, that also the anger itself is not, you know, considered nice. And so the anger is usually very, very deeply buried. And when we transform that, I've literally seen it, like, just after one session, a woman can move from feeling victimized and feeling angry into just being this forward-moving person who doesn't have any hesitation anymore.
Wonderful. Yeah, and again, your work is focused on integrating those parts of ourselves that have been split or have moved into the subconscious from experiences that we've had. Wonderful.
Yes, and, you know, maybe to help you make that link, the archetypal energies, they also get injured when we experience trauma. When we experience trauma, we disassociate from them as well.
Can you say more about that?
Yes. So let's say you had a childhood that was completely amazing, and there was no trauma, and you were always supported in whatever you needed in every moment. By the way, I don't know a single person who matches this description.
Right.
So if you had a person like that, their archetypal divine masculine and feminine energies, whether they are a man or a woman, would be 100% integrated, and they would be very powerful, self-assured, kind, attuned, loving, supportive, like everything you would imagine like the quote-unquote perfect person is. That comes with the archetypal energies because that's part of being a human being. And then when we have trauma and we, let's say, are being shamed for being assertive, and it may look to your daddy like you're being bossy, but you're actually just being assertive about what you're needing. And then your dad is shaming you for that. You are actually disassociating from your archetypal energy of the Amazon as well. There's both a very personal and individual trauma, and there is also the trauma that blocks the archetypal energies. And when we go back to these points in time where they got locked away and we unlocked them, these archetypal energies come back. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for explaining that. I love that distinction. So what's your advice for listeners about beginning to unpack some of these patterns for themselves?
The biggest advice I could ever give to anyone who wants to venture into this terrain is absolute kindness with yourself. We are so ready to be annoyed and frustrated and impatient and whatnot with ourselves for still doing this or still feeling that, when in truth, you would never be that way with the 3-year-old. Like if a 3-year-old walked into your kitchen crying, you would scoot down and put your arms around her and talk very sweetly and try to understand in between her sobs what is actually going on for her. And once you understand, you start validating her experience, and you're there with her, and you really make her feel appreciated and loved for what she's going through. And once she has fully taken that in and she feels heard and seen and validated, you may even start to give her either a different perspective or a different approach and so on. And when we do that with ourselves, we're not actually aware that that thing we're annoyed at or impatient with is a 2-year-old or a 1-year-old or a 7-year-old. And we treat them really, really harshly. And so that would be my biggest, you know, if you were to take this away from this call, whenever you are stuck or you yourself are not behaving the way you wanted to, know there's a very, very hurt part of you at the root of this. And she or he does not need to be scolded or punished anymore. She needs all the love you can give her.
Oh, beautiful.
beautiful. Thank you for lifting that up. Rosina, how can people learn more about you and your work?
Well, the easiest way is to go to my website. I have quite a bit of information and videos on there. And also, there's a button where you can book a heart-to-heart chat, which is complimentary. And then we can just see where you are and what you need and like that.
Wonderful. And we'll include your web address in the show notes. But for listeners, what is your website?
It is Rosine with the E, Krusnik, so R-O-S-I-N-E, K-U-S-H-N-I-C-K. .com.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Emma. I love your work, and I'm very honored to have been on your show today.
Thank you.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.